Jeff and Dana Siffer, and you're listening to the Camera Dojo Podcast with Carrie Garrison and David Esquire.
Welcome to Camera Dojo, the official podcast of CameraDojo.com, where we help you make the most out of your photography. This is your host, Carrie Garrison, and like always, my good friend, David Esquire. Hey, David.
Hey, man, what's up?
Well, not much. We've only spent the entire day together doing another bridal show, so I haven't seen you in, 2 hours.
Feels like an eternity.
Well, thank you.
Throw it back this way, too, but it's cool, you know.
Yeah, it was a good bridal show today. It was a kind of a different crowd. It was just kind of a different atmosphere. Our good friend John Loyola, was there. He had a booth for the first time, so we're hoping that he had some good success with it. And we'll see. We'll see how it plays out.
Absolutely. I'm really curious to see how the meetings go that we've got set up on the books, as well as the strong leads. There were some fantastic brides and grooms that were there. And I also had the opportunity to speak on behalf of us, and Pictage provided the copy while I was speaking up there on stage before the fashion show, just kind of sharing some tips and tricks on how to get the most out of your wedding day. And the brides and grooms seemed pretty receptive to it. We had a lot of good times up there, had them laughing and pointing out to the ladies that were probably going to become the wedding day liaison, just referred to them as suckers, because they're the ones that are going to be stuck with a lot of work. I don't want to be in that position.
Well, let's run through a quick couple of things real quick for anyone who's new to the show or who hasn't been paying attention lately. We still have the free Lens Baby wide angle lens offer for our dojo readers and listeners. So if you are considering getting a Lens Baby Composer, you can get a free 0.6x wide angle macro conversion lens free if you purchase a Lens Baby Composer. The information is right there on the homepage of CameraDojo.com. So be sure and check that out. It's very, very cool. I mean, the Composer is very, very cool, but having that wide angle lens makes it even cooler. We also have a discount on David Zeiser's Digital Wake Up Call Seminar. Again, that's right on the top of the homepage. So we highly, highly recommend this seminar for anybody who is doing digital photography and wants to take their images to the next level. So check that out. You save $20 off the admission, makes it $59. Best deal going in seminars this year. And what else? Oh, we have the new Camera Dojo Lightroom presets. We have a new monochrome one, and that is $14.99, and a bundle package where you get all three, the power workflow, the wedding tools, and the monochrome tools for $29.99. And Dojo listeners, pay attention, 20% discount by using the code DOJO20. So if you're looking at some Lightroom presets, getting 20% off on these is a great deal. So check that out. And I am testing a new camera bag right now from Vanguard called the Pompous Bag, which is a sling bag. It's a one big strap, kind of like an R strap in the opposite direction, and you flip it over to get to your stuff. And I'll be posting a review of that this week, so look for that. And any other business we need to attend to before we get going?
In the new After Capture that I just got this week, there's actually an article in there about converting your photos to black and white. So very curious to see some comparisons on what they explain on what to do to convert your photos to black and white, and see how they compare and contrast with the new Camera Dojo presets for Lightroom.
Cool. See how it goes together. More and more people are trying out black and white with Lightroom, because you can do so many things with it and not just do a straight conversion. You have a lot of control over which colors pop and are highlighted or darkened. You can do some really cool effects with it. So check that out. After Capture, good call there, David. I got mine. I haven't even cracked it open yet. I'm going to take it on the plane with me tomorrow when I fly back east. So try and get some reading in on the way. But we have a guest Well, sort of, I guess.
Kind of.
We have guests today, a husband and wife team from Orange, California, Jeff and Dana Sipper.
The Sippers.
The Sippers.
Team Sipper.
Team Sipper, yes. That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
And Jeff and Dana are good friends of both myself and my wife and David and his counterpart. And they're just good friends of ours. We've been out shooting with them out in Vegas, and they're just a lot of fun. And they do a lot of family stuff. A lot of they do weddings and family portraits and things like that. So we wanted to kind of take the question from last week about working with groups and families and take it into a lot more detail than the few quick tips that I gave last week. So that's what this show is going to be all about. And as soon as we come back from our break, we'll be on with Jeff and Dana Sipper. Well, we're here with Jeff and Dana Sipper of Sipper Photography, and I first ran into them late last year, October, November timeframe. Jeff and I started conversing in the Twitterverse, if you will, and we met face-to-face at the KISS party in December, and we've been good friends ever since, and really like hanging out with each other, like shooting with each other, and we figured we could have them on the show to talk about working with families and groups of people because they do some of that stuff. So, Jeff, Dana, why don't you take a moment and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Well, we're a married couple. We've been together for, I don't know, about 10 years, and we've been shooting together for probably most of that time. I don't know, what do you want to answer?
We met working together at a studio. It was like 10 years ago, and pretty much decided to start our own business and doing weddings and portraits. And I have a lot of background in family and children portraiture.
Yeah, she kind of dragged me into that since I'm pretty much a product shooter. And, you know, going to school, nobody I knew was, you know, shot weddings. Anybody who did was like, oh, was that, you know, that one guy shoots weddings. Oh, okay, it's whatever. It was always seemed to me kind of like a lower echelon of photography, even though it really isn't. But it was kind of the mindset that I was always told when I was in school. So it was kind of like second, you know, stepbrother there. But
what is interesting is that you are a husband and wife team that work together to do the shooting, the post, and all the back end work as well, right?
Correct.
What's that kind of like?
I think it's going to go this way. They're just going to talk over each other and then just stop, right?
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Jeff and I do shoot everything together. I'll do during family shoots. I probably do a little bit majority of it. I'm very much the people person of the relationship. I'm the talker, the giggler, the one that usually gets a rise out of people. And when you're shooting people and families and things, you kind of have to do that, you know, to get them to loosen up a little bit. Mostly we shoot on location at locations of their choice to kind of help ease people into feeling that way too. We don't really do a lot of the studio setup kind of stuff. We do on occasion, but we really like to get out there, you know, and have people in an environmental setting. So, they show us a little bit more of their personality.
So is Jeff basically just a Vols?
He carries my equipment. Oh. Reflector.
For those of you who don't know what a Vols is, it's a voice operated light stand. If you want to see Jeff and Dana in action, you can go to their website and see a video of them actually working in Vegas.
Yes, that Mr. Kerry Garrison there shot and edited for us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. And Mr. David Esquire was there for full support, too, as well.
I was the sexy support. I was being all sexy at the shoot. Somebody has to be like, you know,
it was a lot of fun, and you guys were fun to work with, and the interaction that you had with your clients was really interesting, and how they responded to you, which is why you're here, so we can talk about some of that stuff. Last week, if you know, we're kind of paying attention, you know, or even half paying attention to us, we had the Letters from Listeners show, and we did have someone ask a question about how do you work with groups of people, large families and things like that. And we knew it was a much bigger answer than we were kind of prepared to give in a few minute response. You know, we gave them the real basic, put them in a 45 degree angle, have them put their weight on their back foot, point their toes at you, and, you know, and some really quick guidelines. And it helped some people just get a basic understanding, but there's a lot more to it than that, isn't there?
Yes. I mean, especially, you know, when you're doing like a wedding and you're under time constraints, you know, trying to get that family together or wedding parties together, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, giving people a heads up front, you know, to just, hey, you know, after the ceremony and stuff, you know, you kind of want to keep your wedding party, you know, together, you know, maybe give a heads up to your immediate family, grandparents and things, you know, that we're going to be doing this, you know, afterwards. And, you know, if keeping people together, it just goes like a lot smoother as much as you can. I always, you know, speaking of wedding formal group shots, you know, in general, I like to, you know, get those parents and grandparents, you know, first, with the bride and groom, and, you know, kind of place the bride and groom, you know, and then everybody sort of come in and out around them. So you're not having to constantly move people around, you know. If you're trying to just get those tight, you know, family group shots, you know, they're there to document, they're important, you know, even though, you know, we shoot still like more photojournalistic style as well. You still have to have the shot with grandma, the shot with grandpa, you know? So it's kind of nice to get those done. And, so that those memories are there, but, it can be a challenge if, you know, you've got the one person in the wedding party that's over, you know, outside the church, and you're trying to get everybody else together, and kind of keeping interacting with the people so that they do stay with you, I guess. You know, I'm a joke cracker. I'm sure David is too.
No, not you.
Keep the lines of communication open so they stay interested in you and want to stay around. That kind of thing.
Well, I'm curious now, because I've seen your work with families as well. How does that work for families?
As far as posing them?
Yeah, like working with the groups and getting them all together.
I mean, pretty much the same thing, just like walking, like when we get on location, you know, it's always, you know, walking as a group together. A lot of times, you know, just chit-chatting with everybody. You take a moment to sort of chit-chat with the, you know, if there's kids, chit-chat with the parents, and just everybody sort of stay together and kind of, again, give them a heads up to, like, what we're going to do, you know. We're going to try a couple with the family. We're going to let the kids play a little, and then we'll do some with the kids together. I don't know. What do you think, Jeff?
Well, one of the things we've talked about on the show before is to try and get them to assign a family liaison, you know, someone mm-hmm. on each side of the family who knows everyone who's supposed to be in the photo to help herd the people. Do you do anything similar like that?
Definitely. Actually, yesterday we shot a birthday party that had, I don't know how many grandparents and great-great-grandparents, and I would have known all those people. So just as they showed up, I had the mother of the child whose birthday it was, and then her grandmother basically point out who these people were as they showed up so that we could get, you know, shots of the girl. It was her 1 year birthday. And I guess she had a great, great grandfather there that never met her yet. So, yeah, it's definitely important to get somebody in the wedding party, you know, so there's not the pressure on your bride and groom to take that responsibility. And just point those people out, or a good friend who's maybe, you know, sort of, you can tell the person that's there as like the organizer and the person who's trying to help make, you know, things run smooth, is just try to get with those people and just make sure they help move things along with us.
Now, we've suggested, even though we personally don't do it, we've suggested that people work with the couple to put together an actual shot list of the shots that they want, I typically don't do that. I bring everybody in and then pull out everybody except parents, grandparents, grandparents, brother and sisters. And then I narrow it down to just parents and brothers and sisters, and then pull the siblings out. And so it's just parents. So I'm trying to do the entire family in like five shots. But yesterday was a great example. I had, I kid you not, a 13-page shot list.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
You know, I had nothing to do with it. They just sent it over, and I'm like, okay, I hope someone else besides me is supposed to manage this list. And then there's like people scratching them off and stuff. But do you ask for a shot list? Do you try and do that? Is it recommended? How does that fit into your flow?
You know, in the past, I did have a shot list printed up that I used to give to brides to fill out. And it was basically, you know, do you want like the formals at the altar? Do you want, you know, check your reception shots, you know, so that I would kind of know, are you, you know, because sometimes people don't go through the same exact flow. Maybe they're not doing a garter toss or something like that or whatever. But then later on, I sort of modified it because pretty much once you sort of like, at least our rhythm is, we pretty much hit all the highlight shots. So I sort of asked them more to tell me about their wedding, kind of what they are looking for as far as, you know, do you want formal shots or do you just want more photojournalistic shots? And then if they say more, they lean toward, yeah, we'd like some traditional formal shots. Well, then ask them, do you mean like, you know, shots with certain grandparents, whatever, and kind of coax them to exactly what they're talking about, or they're going to have such and such relative from such place, you know, let's make sure we get it. But I don't necessarily really work, I guess, because we're kind of more go with the flow people.
Yeah, I think every time we've had a shot list, I mean, at least for me anyway, I've kind of breezed over it, and I don't really take any of it in because it's they're all pretty standard anyway.
Yeah, kind of from what we can tell.
Except for the Dead Sea Scrolls that Carrie had yesterday.
Yeah.
You do always end up with something like that. It's just a random.
We have way too much time.
Yeah.
If they have 13 pages of shots and they want it all done in the hour between the the church and the reception.
Well, they had 3 hours scheduled for the photographs.
Oh, wow. Well, then that's why you had a 13-page list.
And we didn't finish.
Aren't as blessed as that is there, Carrie.
it was still insanity, and we didn't finish because there were so many combinations of people that it was not physically possible because people were in 3 or 4 shots and they left to go to the reception, which was 20 miles away. And it's like, where'd Uncle Bob go? They're like, well, he left. Well, he's supposed to be in this shot. Well, no one told him.
That's why it's always good to have like a wrangler if someone within the family who's either in the pictures or not in the pictures who just sort of wrangles, but that doesn't always happen. We try to make it work, but
you know, and then there comes the point where you don't want to be that photographer who's just in everybody's face. You know, there's got to be that fine line to where you get like those kind of shots, and then you know later on at the reception maybe you just catch something that you miss a little bit more candidly and or just you know rally them up and just you know around the table or something, so then you don't feel like you're just constantly directing people. And you know we've been told many a times that like, where did you get all these shots from? You know, it was like because we were just so under the radar a lot of the times, and then they go to look at their books and they're like, oh my gosh, when did you take that? When did you do that? You know, so.
I guess cool. It's... Very cool.
Yeah.
Now, I have something I just thought of that we started to kind of sort of touch base on. And I was curious because you'd mentioned that you make chit chat with the family members when you're doing the family portraits, because I know you work at both ends. What are some of the things that you talk to the families about, like the parents or the other family members or the little kids? Because that would be something that I might be thinking of, like, okay, well, I have no idea what to talk to these people about. So what are some things that you guys bring up?
Especially if there's little kids involved, you know, you can't just talk to kids like, hi, can you smile? I've had many years of baby photography, kid photography. I sort of just start by, you know, asking them what they're interested in, like, you know, the 2-year-old, what kind of cartoons does she watch or what are the, you know, are they into Dora at the time or, you know, whatever, so that I can use that later. You know, like I'll do something simple as, you know, hey, Dora's in the camera taking your picture. And then all of a sudden that kid is like looking at you going, where? Well, it doesn't matter where she is. She's looking at me now and smiling and laughing. So I'm just laying on the trigger. So I guess things like that to just kind of, mostly with kids, just some kind of angle to get them to pay attention to you, or, you know, maybe just pretending like I'm going to tickle them, or just making goofy noises, particularly with, you know, really young ones, just getting them to look over, you know, those goofy noises that make you sound like an idiot, but they pay attention.
And you're referring to the kids that pay attention, not the adults.
Yeah. No. Okay. Well, you know, sometimes you got to know. No, more with the kids. With the adults, like with our engagement couples, just, you know, just start talking with them about our wedding, you know, their wedding plans. Sort of, it's your opportunity to get to know, you know, the couple before the big day. So just sort of talking about like what they like to do together, favorite places to go, if we're at a favorite place of theirs, or maybe where they got engaged or whatever, talking a little bit about the experience. And then they tend to sort of open up and start giving you just, you know, reactions, because they're happy that they're talking, you know, about their happy moment in their life. Right. You know, and the same, you know, with families, they're always like they're just so in awe about getting, you know, especially if you get kind of a family together that has the grandparents too. And just that, how, you know, it's hard to get people together in one spot because everybody's schedules are so busy. And so you get to kind of be there for, you know, they're just very happy that all these people are going to be in one shot, you know, at that time in their life. So
now, with that many people that you're working with these larger groups, what are some possible tips that you might recommend for posing the larger groups? Like, do you have a particular way that you like to angle them and things like that?
I tend to, you know, do some stacking, like if, you know, depending upon like if you're at a park or a beach, you know, if you can get some people, you know, just having everybody standing up straight across is, you know, kind of a little bit, you know, boring. If you can get people to sort of, you know, some sit down, some kneel down behind them, kind of just consistent. I'm just a big, you know, big on like heads being like consistent, where everybody has a spot to sort of poke out, so somebody's not blocked or, you know, Jeff, do you?
Well, you're better at that than I am. But yeah, I mean, just try to keep symmetry, keep people loose, and just sort of, you know, we don't like real stiff photography. I mean, I like everybody kind of relaxed. And so you just kind of get everybody together, and just, you know, what we usually have is we get the group together, Dana starts, you know, stacking people here and there, and just kind of keep it loose. As long as we can see everyone's face and everyone's, you know, looking towards the camera, then, you know, it's good.
I always make the joke, too, for people to, you know, sort of pretend like you like each other, and then everybody starts to get a little bit of, like, a laugh out of it, and, you know, kind of just meaning, you know, everybody kind of moving kind of close and pretend like you like each other. So you don't have that one like random hole somewhere where somebody's off the side. And
how do you deal with people blinking?
A lot of TikTok pictures.
Yeah. I usually say up front that, you know, everybody just keep looking at me. I'm going to take several shots because there's always somebody who's either consistently blinking, or in one shot, one person blinks, and the next shot, somebody else blinks. So
I think you touched on something in last week's podcast when you talked about, like, in bright light, how people close their eyes.
Yeah.
And count to three and open them. We've done that a lot. Because that way it's like, you know, they open their eyes, and before they get a chance to get blinded, you snap it off, and you're good to go.
Do you have any special tips for lighting a big group of people?
I was just going to say.
Wow.
Well, we try to find, I mean, we shoot mostly natural light, so we try to find, you know, like some open shade area, someplace where everything, the light's nice and even. I mean, if it's an overcast day, we're stoked because there's, you know, it's no shadows.
Great big old softbox.
Giant softbox out there. We've done it where we, you know, we'll bring like maybe like an umbrella with like a little, you know, little speed light and kind of, you know.
Just to
kind
of fill in.
A little strobe style and get, you know, just real easy fill in there. Try to get the flash off camera. But for the most part, I mean, We don't do.
We try to shoot time of day where we're not dealing, especially with a group, because we can't really, you know, unless you're going to have a 50-foot reflector out there, you can't really shade a group yourself, you know. So.
Yeah.
Yes, for people who don't know and, you know, need to give them a little boo action here, they are Nikon shooters.
Oh, that's
not... man.
Hey, I was in a bike race today, and it was about 2-1 Nikon. So, yeah.
Yes.
They're out there. They're hiding.
And what bodies are you shooting with?
We are shooting with the D300.
Whoop, whoop.
Wow.
And Jeff has recently... helped out Dana by getting her a battery grip, so I have nothing to bitch about anymore.
Exactly. Now she just shoot video of me shooting my camera without one. So
I couldn't stand watching Dana for a whole day hold that thing in such an awkward, you know, angle, because she shoots a lot of verticals. So I bugged Jeff until he got her a battery grip.
Yeah, I eventually felt guilty enough that we just rolled down and bought one. So.
See what peer pressure can do to you?
Yeah, well, I can't have Kerry calling me out every single week. You know, every time I see him.
I'll have to start putting it in the podcast. Well, gosh, if only Jeff would get Dana a battery. What do you need next, Dana?
Oh, what do I need next? Yeah, I'll just call you with what I need next, so
right.
Then I'll get it. It'll be like subliminal message to
no
him.
No problem. I'll blog about it. I'll put it in the show. Whatever you need, just let me know. We'll hook you up. But Jeff and Dana are R-strap shooters.
Yes, we are. And I was actually using mine today. Love it. There's a couple things I tweak with it, but for the most part, it's way, way, way better than a regular camera strap.
And what about your favorite lenses?
I think mostly, I mean, we're using like the 17 55 2.8, which is pretty much a nice all around, just kind of a good, you know, walk around lens. It kind of covers everything.
50.
We have the 50 1.8, which is great. I'm actually supposed to be getting, I got a line on a couple used, I've got a 20 millimeter and an 85, but the guy's flaking on me, so I don't know when that's going to happen. But I mean, that one for weddings, another one, the 80 to 200 2.8 is pretty solid.
I use that a lot during the ceremony.
So. Yeah, pretty much a basic kit. Nothing too extreme. No, you know, nothing too crazy.
So, back to the topic of groups and the portraits.
Yes.
Which would be the preferred lenses for doing different size groups?
Dude, are you reading my mind? Oh my gosh! I'm sitting here like ready to ask a question. I'm like,
me.
Like,
you guys have been
you're
doing this way too long together.
Yeah,
dude, I'm not kidding.
You know, I really like the 17-55 when I'm shooting families with kids, just because I'm, you know, I have the zoom. Because when you're chasing around children and families, you know, you're really on, you know, on the moment, you know, trying to catch things, you know, especially if you've got, you know, the 2-year-old who won't sit still. Your best shots are just following him around, and sometimes not that close. So, you know, the zoom helps with that as well. And I would say the 50, just when I'm trying to do like a nice,
it's usually for smaller groups.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess more of my couples. Yeah, I would use that, but.
Now, what about, lighting your groups in dark environments? Because we all know that it's not just the, you know, overcast or slightly overcast and cloudy kind of day, you know, giving us nice shadows and soft tones and very little harsh light. But let's say you run into a situation or have run into a situation in the past where you've had low light, dark lighting, portraits at night, portraits in the dark reception. What do you guys like to do for that?
With that, I mean, like, let's say for a reception, I mean, right now we've been just been kind of using like that little Stofen Omnibounce. And that generally works pretty good. I mean, I'm still kind of toying around with different ideas, see what works best.
We talked about that. You just bought the little softbox kit to put the speed light into.
Yeah, I did buy a little, like the little, I think it's maybe like a 16 by 20 softbox to set up with a speed light. So I just bought that not too long ago. I haven't really had a chance to play with it much, but it seems to be pretty good for small stuff. But yeah, I mean, mostly for that, mostly just using like the Omnibounce, and it seems to work fairly well. So
Yeah, I was looking at the Halo from Westcott, which just uses a speed light into about a 24-inch softbox. I thought that looked like a pretty decent solution.
I don't know if that's the one we have or not. Is it a round one or a square one?
The Halo, I think it's actually, yeah, it's like an octagon type setup.
Okay, yeah, I think I have the square one, and it's pretty solid. It's pretty good just for, you know, quick setup. You just kind of screw it on, you know, screw it in, you're good to go.
I'm curious, do you have a particular method to your madness that you find, not necessarily becoming repetition, but you find that it works repeatedly like ingredients to a good jumbo or a good glass of wine that you do on almost all of your large group shoots?
I don't know if we have any one particular thing. I mean, it's just a matter of just finding good light and making sure everybody's relaxed and comfortable. And
I would say the easygoingness of just, you know, trying to just interact with people is pretty consistent.
We just try to have fun. I mean, because really, I mean, you're taking pictures. You're not curing cancer here. You're just having fun. And that kind of, I think that comes across. If people are happy, the customers are happy, and they're having a good time, then it shows in the pictures, and then they'll be happy when they get the pictures back. So.
Mm-hmm. That was a good one. Well, how would you recommend people get started in, learning how to pose people? Were there any books that you went through, any classes that you attended or are going to be attending, possibly May 20th, or anything else like that, that you would give people as good starting points?
You mean the David Zeiser seminar?
I actually meant David Zeiser seminar, as a matter of fact. Where you can get a discount code at Camera Dojo in the upper right-hand corner by clicking on the link to discount code for David Zeiser seminar.
We signed up.
We used the code.
I'm really looking forward to that one.
That should be cool.
So I think we're all in agreement that you should go to that seminar. were there any books that you could recommend, or did you just kind of pick it up and just start going? Because I know you've been doing it for a while, but
yeah, I mean, point? I worked in different studios that, we had done some, I did prom sorority photos, so presented just with, I just sort of was, you know, delved in and, you know, just kind of figured it out.
and I mostly just learned from watching Dana because...
Well, because watching Dana, you know,
well, yeah,
that's...
but yeah, I mean, I just kind of, she threw me into shooting my first wedding and I had no clue at all what I was doing. And so... I just kind of followed what she said. She says, okay, do this, do this, do this. And okay. And just kind of went with it. And so I'm still learning that end of it. But as far as that, I mean, I just look at other people's websites, look at other people's blogs. I kind of see what other people are doing. If anything, just for inspiration, go, oh, that looks kind of cool. Maybe I'll try that.
Do you have some you'd recommend?
I could send you my blog list. It's ridiculous. I hit a lot of like the bigger named Orange County guys. I look at
Barry. Like Kerry Garrison and David Esquire.
Well, of course.
The Kerry Garrison and David Esquire. Yes.
Esquirephoto.com and Kerry
Sir.
Sir, David.
But I mean, I'll look at different people for different things. I mean, like I'll look at Becker's stuff because he has kind of. He's got a nice, like, relaxed look to it, and nothing's real, you know, forced. And nothing ever looks too forced to me, which I kind of like. Who else do I look at? There's a ton of people. I can't think of anybody right now.
You know, and really different families and different groups are, you know, I mean, you can go, I guess, and look basically at, I mean, they sell tons of books at Borders and things like that of, you know, you can go by kids, you can go by families, you know, how to pose and things. But, you know, different groups are going to do different things because, you know, certain people get into it a little bit more than others, you know, because they're just more, you know, personable personalities. So you kind of have to read who you're with and then just take the basic tools and go from there, I guess.
So I'll put you on the hook and I'll tell you to send me an email with your top five links that you would send somebody to. And I'll put that in the show notes.
Sounds good. I'll get that on that tonight.
So there's a good plan.
Cool.
All right.
For, you know, sipofphotography.com has some great, some great families.
Recently voted a top pick in Fox News of Orange County.
Yes. Number four.
Woo woo.
So obviously a very popular Orange County photographer firm, which is why you're on the show.
Yes. Well, thank you.
Oh, God. I think I'm going to get some shoes because it's getting deep.
You like it.
Well, it's been great. We love having you on the show and, you know, love hanging out with you, love watching you shoot. You know, it's always a fun experience hanging out with you. So really glad you were able to take the time and come on and share some of your experiences with us and the listeners, because I know Jeff's a big fan of the show. So
I turn it on at work, you know, once a week, and when a new one comes out, and just kind of zone out for however long it is.
Yeah, you won't really need to listen to this one, will you?
No, we were not there.
But now Dana's actually heard one. So.
No, I've heard a couple other ones.
I forced her to listen to a couple because I was like, hey, I'll come down once a week. I'm like, hey, I was listening to Carrie David's podcast this week. Oh, they had this person on, or you should listen to this. They had some good points on this or that. And I'm like, so I'll, you know, go through my iTunes and I'll download the one, whichever one it was, and, you know, make her listen to it. So
I'm working very hard. You know, I don't know what Jeff's doing at work, but I'm working very
hard. Well, he's photographing like bikini models, right?
Yeah,
pretty much.
So he has time to sort of shift gears and, you know, listen to some podcasts where, you know, I'm busy at, you know, networking events and I'm out there, you know, pounding the pavement. Oh, that's why I love you.
You know what? Because you are a husband and wife team, mm-hmm. How does that work out in terms of critiquing each other's work and being supportive for each other?
I think we both kind of critique each other's work pretty good. I mean, like, there's stuff I notice that she does, and I'll go, oh, you know, you should do this, you should do that. And then she looks at mine, she's like, that's total crap. What are you
doing? No,
but, you know, we'll go back and it's like, we'll go back and forth with it and just kind of say, you know, if we see something that looks... You know, if I see something, like, you know, that looks good, but maybe you could try this a little bit different. Because we do shoot, even though our style kind of looks sort of the same, we have different ways we shoot. So it's like, I can usually tell what she shot and what I've shot.
Yeah.
And there's things I'll go, like, that looks pretty cool, but what if you tried it like this?
Because Jeff's the very technical of the group, and I'm the very artsy socializer. So, you know, but it's a good balance.
What are some tips that you'd possibly recommend to other husband and wife teams that are out there shooting together that have helped the two of you grow?
I would say, you know, like Jeff said, is we, even though we're two different people, two different shooters, is we have a consistent style together. And I think, you know, our interaction and banter, you know, with each other comes out in kind of bantering with the clients and things like that. So,
and I think a lot from like more of a business and working standpoint is finding out what you're good at and doing that part of it.
Yeah.
Like Dana is really good with the kids. They just stare at me. Dana's good at that. She's good at, you know, better with the people, better at posing people and doing all that stuff. Whereas when it comes to the back end stuff, the more technical stuff, you know, you get into Lightroom and the Photoshop, and I'm just, you know, I can crank through all that stuff and get, you know, looking really good. And it's, I think a lot of it's just finding out what you're better at and trying to do that. Like, if I had to sit there and, you know, deal with, you know, trying to, you know, get clients on the phone and trying to do this and do that and, you know, mail stuff out and be organized, I can't do that.
I'm like, the organizer.
Yeah, she's way better at it than I am. And if I had to do that, I'd probably go insane.
So would you say you are each other's harshest critic or each other's biggest fan?
I'm definitely a fan of Dana. I mean,
Thanks, babe.
You're welcome.
I left it open for him to, you know, take that and run with it. But
thank you. I appreciate it.
I think
that.
We'd have a problem if he wasn't my fan. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, we still critique each other, and, you know, I think I'm a harder critique, you know, harder judge on myself than than, you know, anybody else. But yeah, I mean, she does a great job. She's good at what she does. And for me, that makes my back end, you know, the back end work I do, it makes it so much easier because I can just look at it and go, okay, cool. I don't have to do a ton to it and just kind of sweeten things up and go.
It is like when you're on a team, you know, we're Team Sipper. So when you play on a team, you sort of, everyone has their different, you know, positions and things that they're responsible for. And I think we figured out pretty much what, you know, I do well, he does well, and then it makes this superb package. So.
Superb package.
Yes.
Wow.
Best of both worlds.
Well, Jeff and Dana, thank you so much for being on the show. Where can people see more of your work and what you're up to?
You can check out our blog and website at sipperphotography.com.
And what about things like Twitter or Facebook? Are you reachable there too?
Oh, we are. You can find me at twitter.com/sipperphoto. That's for Jeff.
And I'm at twitter.com/DanaSipper. And we are both on Facebook as well and have a Sipper Photography fan page and blog page.
And we will put those in the show notes to make it easy for people to find.
Awesome.
So totally. Thank you very much for being on. And Jeff, send me those blog links and I will put those in the show notes as well.
Perfect. Thank you for having us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Well, that was cool having Jeff and Dana on the show. Like I said, they've been good friends of ours for a while and we've shot with them and had some fun with them. And you know, I've seen them shoot. I videoed them shooting. So yeah. Having them come on and talk about it from their perspective, I thought was an interesting angle on it.
It's interesting to hear the parallels of how they got to become a team in the business. And I saw a lot of parallels with how you and I work together in the business. It's like she's bubbly and fun and outgoing and he's kind of techy, but at the same time he totally has the personality to work with the clients, and she has the techy ability as well. But we're similar in that sense, and there's a balance that's there, and when you can find that balance, it works, and it clearly works with their business. It shows in their creativity and the clients love them. It's really cool.
You know, I was thinking about that when they said that as well, because, you know, we do make a really good team out in the field because you're more creative. I'm more technical. You'll be setting something up and I'll go, hey, you know, David, if I throw some light from over here, that's really going to highlight this. And you're like, oh, yeah, dude, try that. And I'll be setting something up and you're like, hey, well, you know, if you move this certain way, you know, this is going to look better. And so, you know, we feed off each other when we're shooting, and we've seen that with them and how they work. And, you know, it really pushes both people to kind of cross-pollinate, if you will, into, you know, both sides of their brains to come up with better and better stuff. So I think it's a really great way of teaming up with someone if you can find that opposite and, you know, play those strengths for what they are.
Absolutely.
Well, we're like coming up on about an hour, so it's been a good show. I have loved having them on, and we got, like I said, we got some new articles coming up this week, so look for those on the website. And David, where you be hanging out these days?
Gosh, typically Starbucks, Coffee Bean, places like that. Anything that like has the smell of caffeine in the air.
Yeah, but where do you think our listeners and readers could find you a little easier?
Probably online.
That's
but
what
wait.
I'm thinking.
But wait, Carrie, you know what? You and I have failed to do so, and it came up in last week's podcast about the self-portraits.
Dude. Oh, and we had Jeff on the show, and we had called him out on it, didn't we?
I know. I just remembered that. Snap. Oh, Jeff, where's your portrait?
Mm-hmm. Well, okay. So let's okay.
Okay. Ready?
No. Remember, we do have a little kind of a throwing down the gauntlet type of contest out there right now for people to come up with their best pose that they would like a client to do but they have to do it themselves. And we just had Jeff on the phone, and we called him out on the show last week to come up with something, and none of us have had a chance to do it because we've been really busy over the past week. And so we want everyone to try and focus on that and get that done in the next couple of weeks and start getting them in the forums. Also, the other thing I really want to stress, and we're going to try and come up with a way of having a contest around it or something, is we want people in different areas to step up and start organizing some photography meetups and post in the dojo forums. Let us know. We'll mention them on the air podcast, if you will, who's organizing some, where, what cities they're going to be in, and really try and organize some groups in your area to do some things and get together and participate with each other and really start doing some fun things as a group. You'll learn from each other. You'll grow with each other. You'll always learn new things. So we're going to start posting in the Camera Dojo forums about this and try and get the ball rolling here in Orange County ourselves. And we encourage other people in major areas to step up, post something and say, hey, I'd like to do a group in Chicago or wherever. And we'll start hyping those on the show so that we can build some really great areas. And then eventually, you know, as we get a couple groups going, we'll start having some contests back and forth to see who can, you know, have the most people and, you know, turn in some really cool images. So that's going to be a thing I really want to focus on over, you know, the next month or two, is really building up these communities of photographers around the country.
I am having visions in my mind of like the flash mobs that were pretty popular back a few years ago on the East Coast. You know, obviously nothing totally ridiculous like those, but I could really see having a contest on a global level of, okay, well, we got 348 people getting together in New York. How many is in Los Angeles? And we could do like this whole live, you know, telecast kind of thing. That would be kind of neat. And since we're talking about that, anybody that's here in the Southern California, OC, LA, Ventura, Riverside, blah, 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 Southern California area that rides a motorcycle and you guys want to get together for some type of a ride shoot day out on, you know, the California highways or maybe some of the twisties or the straightaways, let me know. I'm always down to go out for a ride and take my camera with me and get some great pictures. And it'd be a great opportunity for us to get some pictures of each other on our bikes, because that's something that I think a lot of us are lacking when we're out there riding. So throwing it out there already, you guys, let's get out there and ride and get some pictures.
Yeah, I'm really encouraged by groups that have got together based on David Hobby's website over at strobus.com and got some really huge groups together to set up in parking garages or parks or beaches or wherever. And you get together and you post on like Model Mayhem and you get some models out there and you get makeup artists out there and you get stylists out there. And everybody's working together to just do some big portfolio building and learn from each other. It's a great experience, and we're going to do everything we can to help you guys organize these. We'll show you how, we'll give you the tips, and like I said, we're definitely going to do one in our area and get it going as quickly as possible here. So work on that, folks. And another thing, love the comments. We've been getting a lot of comments lately, and we thrive on comments. The iTunes comments have been awesome. We really appreciate that. The show notes comments have been great. The article comments have been great. The emails have been great. The Twitter posts, the Facebook comments. Guys, we really love the comments because it helps us fine-tune the show to make it what you guys really want. So again, thank you very much for that. And David, let's call it a night and let them go. And we'll throw out your website and your Twitter form, and let's tell people how to get a hold of us.
Absolutely. You can reach me at esquirephotography.com, and you can also reach me on twitter.com/esquirephoto. And you can also reach me on Facebook at the ridiculously long Facebook address that is on there. But just do a search for me and ta-da, you'll see a great shot of me just looking handsome and cool. And Carrie, where can we find you at?
Well, you can always find me at CameraDojo.com in the forums there, show notes, comments, whatever. You can follow the Camera Dojo website stuff every time we post a new article or just whenever I find some other cool photography links, I post those at twitter.com/CameraDojo. And if you're, for whatever reason, vaguely interested in what I'm doing personally, you can follow me on Twitter at twitter.com/CarrieGarrison or CarrieGarrison.com. All those are in the notes. They're on the side of the website. So we're pretty easy to find and track down. So go for it and have a good week. And we'll catch you next week.
Here we go. This is Jeff.
And Dana Sipper. And you're listening to the Camera Dojo Podcast.
With Carrie Garrison and David Esquire. This is Jeff.
And Dana Sipper. And you're listening to the Camera Dojo Podcast. With Carrie Garrison and David Esquire.
This is Jeff.
And Dana Sipper.
And you're listening to the Camera Dojo Podcast. Club.
This is Jeff and Dana Sipper and ukulele, and you're listening to the Camera Dojo Podcast with Carrie Garrison and David Esquire.